To share. Yeah, it's just such a blessing to give and to serve, isn't it? So I just want to encourage you. I was able to finally make it out. It's been on my heart to make it out to Hope in the Park. I was so excited because I thought I missed it last week, and I was like, I didn't miss it. So I was able to go, and it's just such a beautiful ministry that they're doing out there. As we're in the spirit of giving, and if you're giving a financial offering, that's great. If you're unable to give a financial offering, remember there's other ways that you can worship and serve the Lord, right? They need bags, right? Like Stater Brothers shopping bags. They need clothes. Maybe there's some stuff you can give in that way. They need those kinds of items would be really helpful. And honestly, if you can't give any of that stuff, they need prayer. Yeah. So come show up. Come to Hope in the Park. It's the second Saturday. It'll be on April 12th next time. It was just a really beautiful job. I just want to give a shout out to that team that started that ministry. And they're doing amazing work out there. And so remember that giving is an act of worship, and that's what it should feel like. So you should never feel insufficient. It's not about money. It's about whatever God's put on your heart. Do that. That's where the blessing comes.
Well said, Sandy. Thank you so much. All right, if you miss the baskets on as they are passed by, you can also drop in your family guest cards or your financial gift in the black box on the way out the door. It's on the right of the wall. But thank you, gentlemen. Go ahead and come on forward. We're going to pray over it. Father, I just stand in awe of the way that you meet the needs of our community through this small church. Father, I just praise you, God, that we may be small in number, but the impact that you are working through us is enormous. Father, the fact that, the people over by living in the riverbed near Eva Del Park on Sundays are being fed and clothed and prayed over, Father. The fact that, 90 families every month are receiving a day's worth of grocery, Father, if not more than one day for family of four. The fact that we're able to keep the lights on in this building and keep the water running and pay our, any sort of, our salaries, God, and that, also just support the ministries that happen from within, whether it's Project Hope or Love Works, which is coming on. But I just praise you, God, for all that you do. You work in a very mighty way through our little church. And God, it is just such an honor to just be looking over your shoulder as you work and that we're included in it. Thank you so much. I just pray that what we collect today just continues to meet the needs of others in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, so much.
Come to the water, you thirst, and your thirst no more. To the Father, you who work and to work no more. Love is not. Time.
student, thank you, honey, in grades first through sixth grade. You guys are going to exit right out these doors and enjoy, thank you, honey, a worship time with Miss Sandy and Miss Donna, and we will return the children prior to the end of service. All righty. You ready?
Mostly. I think I've done this before. Hi, guys. So I can see time change hit us. Well, last night it was like 11 o'clock I was reading. And my wife goes, you know it's 12 o'clock, don't you? I said, no, it's not. We're going the other way. Oh, no, we're not. Oh. So normally what happens is people you don't normally see, till they always come in late. They actually are here early. And then, yeah. Okay, so we're going to be talking about love today. Now, we're walking through the workbook. Go ahead and bring that up. Growing in Christ, again, I highly recommend it. It's just a good basic discipleship workbook for new believers, especially. And so we're talking about God's command, Jesus gave us, that we are to love one another. In fact, let's look at it. John 13, 34, and 35, one of my favorite verses. A new commandment, Jesus says, I give it to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So our example is Jesus. By this, all people will know that you are my disciple. Interesting enough, most people do not think of Christians as being loving. That scares me. And here it is, if you have love for one another. Invariably, when I'm doing couples counseling, I always ask, I said, are you guys Christians? And I said, but they're not loving. Well, you can't expect me to love this person. Look what they did to me. It sounded like a Baptist business meeting. Been in those too. So let's face it. When we deal with the subject of love, we do not handle it well. And that's sort of what I want to walk you through today. But the idea is that it's so much broader than I think that we're looking at. I think we're looking at it emotionally, and Jesus has different designs for it. So, two things to ask. One, did Jesus really mean this? That we're to love somebody as he has loved us. And so let's look at that and see how it works. Here's Jesus' example of what that love would look like in John 13. Now, it's a longer passage, but hang in there with me. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world and loved them until the end, during the supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments. Taking a towel, he tied it around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And then we came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. That will be after the resurrection. They still have some tests they have to fail tonight. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I don't wash your feet, you have no share with me. And then Simon says, okay, Lord, then not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. And that's why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed the disciples' feet and put his outer garments back on, resumed his seat, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? Not for you, not in you, what I have done to you. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, do you see emotion in any of this? Yes, it was a powerful moment. Yes, people were feeling emotions. But there's none of this lovey-dovey kinds of stuff that says, I can only love you if I feel good about you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you do these things, blessed are you if you do them. Excuse me, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now notice, the emphasis is whether or not you do it. And what I would remind you is that the very man he was ministering to would later that night all betray him. And he does it anyway. So we want to learn how to do this kind of servanthood, how to share grace like this, how to have the love of Jesus actually flow out of us. Not that we have to build it up ourselves and then we have to manufacture it, but how does it actually work for us? So today's sermon is divided up in two parts. One, we're going to look at how to love or be loving towards those we interact with, okay? And secondly, how do we love those who are invisible, what we call the people who are untouchables, the people we walk by in the street or the marketplace when they're asking for food or help, or maybe they're not dressed well, or maybe there's some kind of other affliction going on, and we just turn our heads away and we just keep walking as if they're not there. It's this dismissive attitude that Christians have towards those who are in need. That's sort of scary to say it that way. By the way, do you all remember our purpose statement? Love. Love. Serve. Love God. Love others. Serve your world. And we come to this whole concept about love, and it's all wrapped up in what we understand about who God is. Because we know it's one thing to say these words, and it's another thing to live it all together. Let's pray. Father, as we share today, just empower us. Help us take a good look at ourselves and how we are behaving towards people who are difficult, who have hurt us, Father, how we behave towards people that are not like us. And we really wish they were elsewhere. Because, man, it really confronts what you call Christianity, what you call a walk in Christ, a walk of faith. Father, change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, let's begin. Do you have a problematic relationship? Really not that hard. All you have to be around somebody is just for a little bit. You know? I love Proverbs. As iron sharpens iron, so does the countenance of one sharpen another. What's that mean? Sparks fly, baby. You know? Y'all... We all think we're really, really neat, and we're not. We're not. So it could be family, it could be marriage, it could be work, it could be school. The question is, how does God want you to handle it? Does he want you to pout? No. Does he want you to get even? No. Shylock strikes again. We want that pound of flesh. It just... You wounded me. I'm going to get you. How does God want you to serve them and give them grace? That's the question. See, the evidence, hang on to this, the evidence for your walk of faith in Christ or of your walk in faith in Christ is seen in your ability to love. Now, I'm defining love here this way, not as an emotional sense within me, because actually our emotions are fighting against being loving towards somebody, but it's actually to, when somebody wounds us, to give grace and to serve them. To give grace and to serve those who have hurt us. But the way we were raised is almost always reactionary. That's why we call this road rage when we drive, right? It's reactionary. Somebody did something to me, so I've got to do something to them. And all, but do you guys remember that you're also supposed to be in Christ? What does that mean to you? Really? Is it that you joined a fraternity? A social club? Or is it something that is changing the very core of who you are, of who I am in Christ? Luke 6. Jesus said, but to those of you who are willing to listen. Might want to circle that phrase. If you're willing to listen. I say, love your enemies. Now again, the word love, if you've been in church very long, when we talk about agape love, sacrificial love, not eros love, it's not phileo love, which is brotherly love, it is sacrificial love. I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. So if you're having a marital problem, what minimally is the standard of your response to your partner? It is to do good for them, and to bless them, and to pray for them who will hurt you. If someone slaps you on the one cheek, offer the other cheek. If someone demands your coat, give also your shirt. That's going to become broader for us as we move on. And so the Bible describes these responses we're supposed to be doing. And you learn more about who you are as a person in an intimate relationship with someone else over a period of time. Because you have your good days, and don't you wish God would just bless those? And totally ignore my bad days. The days that this person hurts me, this day that this person rubs up against this raw spot I have in my life, and they dub something, and because of my past, things that have happened back here, traumas, and things that have happened in relationship over here, when this little thing happens, I have a visceral response of pain and I act out in tremendous anger or wrath. And we call that love. No, it's what we struggle with. So when we talk about loving one another as I have loved you, so also love one another. By this will all men know you're my disciples. What happens in the Christian life, or what is supposed to happen, is the way we handle our emotions, our negative emotions, is to funnel them to acts of grace towards somebody else. There's no way in the world I can ever take away your hurtful emotions. Nobody can do that. You have to discipline them. Okay? You have to accept them as a part of who you are and what's happened in your life. See, we want to talk from. Okay, we want to talk from our pain. We want our pain to interject into the world and let people have it. Because I've been wounded, I'm going to wound. Rather than talking about our pain. Hey, you know what just happened there hurt my feelings. Can we talk about it? Wouldn't it be just amazing if Christians could do that? That little phrase. Hey, wait a second, I'm not comfortable with this. Can we talk about it? And work with it. No, we've got to act out. That move to act out is the very heart of what we would call the flesh, our old nature. My question is this: are you working to discipline it, or have you turned it loose to win? How you answer that defines your faith walk in Christ. It defines your faith walk. Now, so how do I do this? Well, how do I make this work? How do I love and share grace with somebody who has wounded or hurt me? And I'm going to give you some really simple things because I have something else I want to talk about too, but it's really important for us. One is that when you're offended, when you're hurt, what are other words we want to say for that? Disrespected. Triggered. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Are you aware of your triggers? I work really hard helping people understand what triggers them and what they feel when they're triggered. But if you don't know me, I'm also a married family therapist. But anyway, so you have to, once you understand what your weaknesses are, you can actually begin dealing with it. Okay? You don't have to act like that idiot that you normally act like when you get upset. Been there, done that. So here it is. So we want to focus on our source of hope and not the offense. When I'm triggered, when I get upset, when I'm unhappy, when I want to respond, In that moment, this is where I have to develop a disciplined mind. You know there's, if you say it, you know there's no recovery. Okay? You just got to know it. And so instead of saying it, you've got to focus on your hope. Here it is. Dear friends, 1 John. Dear friends, let us continue in, or if you will, continue to love one another. For love comes from where?
God.
So you don't have to say, well, I don't love this person. I'm going to say, I don't care. Well, I'm mad. Okay, actually, you're not mad. You're hurt. Every time you say that you have an anger problem, you're lying. You do not have an anger problem. You have a pain problem.
Yep.
Deal with the source of pain. Your anger goes away. That means I'd have to get rid of her. I could have said him. I could have. No. You are the source of the problem. We want to make the other person the problem. No, you are the source of the problem. But this person has wounded me. Yeah, because it plugged into your junk and you don't have the strength yet just to say no to this person. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so I want to focus on the source of my hope. If you continue in love for one another, because love comes from God, there's my source. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. Are you putting it together? How you respond in that moment is defining your Christianity. You cannot say that you are standing for Christ if you're acting like that. Okay? Now, I realize we all have weaknesses. We all have our junk. We have our stuff that we struggle with. I do this on a regular basis with people. I really, really do understand it. But put all that aside and recognize this. What you're really talking about is the person you want to be in this world for Jesus Christ. And you have to make up your mind before anything else happens to you. Who do I really want to be? And how do I want to honor God today in the way that I live? How do I want to build up my partner? How do I want to give, if I will, sacrificial love, care, grace to those that I interact with on a regular basis? It really does matter. In fact, I would tell you that nothing else matters more than this. Because it's this response, how you respond to people that just tick you off. Other people are watching. And they will come to know Christ or walk away from Christ by the way that we behave. So focus on our source and not the offense. Now, it is okay to say, God, I really want to hurt this person. Don't say that out loud, but I think it's being honest. So I need you to help me filter through what I'm feeling so that my response is gracious. You can do that. But it's disciplining the mind to respond over your feelings so that your negative feelings do not cause damage in a relationship or in a need. Now, number two, remember Jesus' instruction about what's most important. Now, notice I'm saying most because this gets pretty significant. Jesus replied when talking to the lawyer, what's the greatest commandment in the Bible? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the first and greatest. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you want other people to respond to you when you blow it? And let me tell you, it does come back on you. Because if you're constantly irritable, if you're constantly being negative towards other people, you're going to get negativity back. Have you ever hurt somebody else and sinned against them? Have you ever wounded somebody else's feelings? Oh, we're all guilty. Although I do know some people that would actually deny they've ever done it. Really? Okay. So remember what's most important. We are commanded to love as Jesus loved us, but we are to love them as ourselves. There becomes the bar. There becomes the standard. Anything less is not acceptable. Now, here's the thing. This is an intellectual decision that you need to make based upon your level of spirituality and what you want the Holy Spirit to do in you. You cannot just give away the responsibility. Well, God, you know, I was being controlled by my emotions and I really couldn't help myself. That's not true. You can. You just don't want to. And it's a decision I need to make every day to take a stand for Christ regardless of how I feel. Thirdly, remember Jesus' words about forgiving those who have hurt you. Matthew 6, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will what? Good, I like that. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will what? Oops, yeah, big time. Big time. You want to understand why the church is not victorious in our world today? Because we're just not acting for Christ. And what God wants more than anything in all of our lives, in our most intimate relationships, all the way up to our social relationships, and those we interact with on the freeway or just in the grocery store, is, you know, be a good guy. Be a woman of faith. You can do this. And we're going to interact more as the world gets going. By the way, have you noticed things have changed in the last few months? Yes. Yeah. Did you notice that people aren't really walking around happy? No. Okay? And the thing is, God hasn't changed. God's still there. Okay? And he's more concerned not with our circumstance, but how we're going to live with him regardless of what's happening around us. Amen. And it is a walk of faith. Loving others, even when they're difficult to love, has more to do with our relationship with our Heavenly Father than it does with the offender. That's really what we're talking about. They're just the instrument of irritation. How I respond to that irritation and to this person and the circumstance that I'm in really have to do with how I feel about God. And you just got to do soul searching, man. If you know you have a temper, if you know you say things that you ought not say. And remember, your kids tell us. Okay? You will inherit your sins and your children. All right, moving on. Now, let me give you some tips. So how do I make these things work? Number one, you need to acknowledge your emotions and how they affect you. Guys, we're the worst offenders here. We don't want to admit to our emotions. I have worked weeks with individuals, just them, get them to admit that they have emotions. They know anger. They know frustration. Yeah, I remind them, it's like walking to Baskin Robbins. There's 31 flavors, pick one. There's something else underneath there. What's going on? And it's difficult for us to name them because it's painful to do so. And society has not been our friend in helping us work through them. So you want to acknowledge your emotions and how they affect you. You want to practice forgiving by faith and not feelings. Again, I don't care whether or not you want to forgive them and in that sense give grace and service. But it's a matter of what I believe about God and my relationship with him, and that's what I'm acting from. Now, you want to pray for that person that's hurt you. The scripture is very clear upon that. How are you praying for them? Dear Lord, please take them out as soon as possible. Amen. Why did I get such a response from that? So we want to pray for them. What if God wants to do something in that person and he can't do it in them unless you're the person that helps them get there? What if you're the person God's tagged as saying, I need your ministry in their life for them to know Jesus or for them to experience change? And it's not going to happen because I'm not willing to stand in faith. Now, if you're still struggling with this, consider joining a support group or seeing a counselor that's going to be able to walk you through this stuff. Make sure it's a Christian counselor. This is a big one. You've got to release control and power. Release control and power that the offending person has had over your life. As long as you hold on to anger, as long as you hold on to bitterness, they're still going to win and traumatize you. You're giving power to the pain to win. And now I do realize a lot of this extends out of trauma. A lot of this extends out of really hurtful kinds of things. And you may, I mean, if it's bigger than you, then go see a counselor. Go, you know, give me a call. Go talk to Marlon or Gary. I mean, there are people here that will walk with you through this stuff to help you find. Oh, they can always go to CR. You know, yeah. Hurts, hang-ups, and habits. New sign outside.
Yes.
Saw that.
Love that.
Why is this so important? Because we all struggle here. Are you with me? And so Jesus begins and he says, love one another as I have loved you. By this will all persons know that you are my disciple, if you have love one for another. But you know, the issue of love is so much more than dealing with difficult people. It is, in our relationships, it's also about the people around us that we're purposely trying to ignore. Call them invisible. Call them untouchable. But people who offend us just by their very being, who ask for money, who ask for handouts, who stand in the way at the store saying, "Will you? Can I have some? Can I have some? Can I have some?" We were in Italy and Rome? No, Venice. And this senior adult woman was holding this sign for wanting help. And it said, and I have six kids. And I say, at your age, they're all adults. Why aren't they helping you? I mean, that's the first response that I had. But they're all around us. So let's pick that up. Luke 5. Did you know Jesus has things to say about this? In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. And when the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. A leper, he touched him. I am willing, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. And all of a sudden, we see and we learn something amazing about how Jesus wants us to interact with people who have emotional or spiritual or physical leprosy. I'll tell you a story. When 56-year-old Vinicio Rivera got on a bus in the town of Vicenza, Vicenza. Huh? Yeah, she's my Italian person there. Vicenza. Italy. He knew that people would gasp and back away from him. He walked towards an empty seat, but the gentleman near the seat screamed at him to go away. The greeting he received from the man was typical for him. He suffered from a genetic disease called neurofibromatosis. Type 1. Basically, he has boils all over his body. He has these little knobs. I mean, it's just very painful. He oozes sores everywhere. There were lots of people on the bus, he said, and when they heard the man, and no one said a word. Venizio's disease ran in the family. Both his mother and sister had the same condition. His aunt mentioned that his t-shirt would often be soaked with blood from the sores that oozed upon his body. He looked like the Elephant Man, except there was no one paying to see him. People tried their best to walk on the other side of the street to avoid him. Nobody would touch Venizio. Venizio went to St. Peter's Square in Rome to see the new elected Pope Francis. He was sitting in a wheelchair with his aunt, and by God's providence, a Swiss guard came and gave them permission to come forward closer so they could see him. When Pope Francis saw him, he made a beeline to him. He put his hands on his face and kissed him. He hugged him as if he was human. No one expected the Pope to do such a thing, a small miracle for an untouched man. Instead of shock and divisiveness, Venizio, for the first time in his life, felt great warmth and embrace from the church's Holy Father. Venizio knew who touched him and filled his heart with joy, and he was never the same again. By the way, Venizio's embrace with Pope Francis took place on November 6, 2013, right after he became Pope. By the way, the name Venizio means neighbor or someone in close proximity. So who are the people you dismiss? Who are the people you ignore or tell them to go away? Or you turn your face from them because you don't want to look at them. You don't want to acknowledge that they're people and that they matter. You don't want them interfering in your life. Are their bodies covered with tattoos? Do they smell? Do they look homeless? Let's walk through the scripture, shall we? Isaiah. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who also need your help. Matthew 25. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. In fact, that's the very description of the person who's going to heaven. The opposite is the person who is not going to heaven. Matthew 9. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. Who does God want to touch the untouchables in our life today? But you got to see them. And you have to be willing to respond. Compassion for people like that is the sign of being a believer. Lacking compassion for the homeless, for the hurting, for those in need, is a sign of not being a believer. Matthew 5, give to the one who begs you. Does that ever get you mad? You know, somebody begging. Why don't they go get a job? Like to see how you would like life if it was switched. Give the one who begs from you. Do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. John Piper says this. When Jesus says, give to everyone who begs from you, I think he means that it's our default inclination. It ought to be an automatic. Story about C.S. Lewis. One day, C.S. Lewis and a friend were walking down the road and came upon a street person who reached out to help to them for help. And while his friend kept walking, Lewis stopped and proceeded to empty his wallet. And then when they resumed their journey, the friend asked, what are you doing giving him money like that? Don't you know he's just going to squander it all on ale? Lewis paused and replied, well, that's all I was going to do with it. And so what we learn is that people are in all kinds of situations and circumstances, and we don't know how they got there, and we don't know what their story is, but I can tell you this, you've got a story. and they've got a story. Okay? And in our story, we've got a God who says, but I love them. And I would like to motivate you. I would like you just to change your opinion. I would like you to change the way you respond to the people that you see to at least do something towards them. Here's some ideas. Now, remind you that in all cases, safety is first. If you feel threatened or if you wouldn't feel safe, then don't. Or make somebody else do it. I've done that before. Be prepared with non-cash gifts. This would mean that you would need to think ahead of time that coming up, I'm going to meet somebody who's going to ask for help. And it doesn't take much. All I have to do is pull up to a light. Somebody's there. So Gina and I, we're going to go, I don't know if we're going down the boat or what, but we're behind this woman, and we're right there, you know, where the theater is and the stores, turning left on Bear Valley from Jess Ranch Road. And there's always a guy standing there with a sign. Anything that will help. So he points the sign at the woman. She rolls down her window, reaches back behind her. You can see her reach. And she pulls out a little bag full of toiletries and things that somebody could use. He said, here. Took off and went. And you can do that. One of the amazing things, if you do research on it, one of the best things you can give to somebody who's homeless or struggling is a pair of socks. There are ways to give non-financial gifts if that's what your problem is, but you have to prepare it ahead of time and have it ready to give. You can pray for a person. Did you know that? Yes. You, if it's an appropriate situation, you can just say, can I just pray for you right now? And minister to them. Have no idea what God wants to do in their life. For deeper underlying issues, God is really the only true source of healing anyway. But how many of you even know that we had a homeless guy living here for a while? Did you ever just go talk to him? Or did you ignore him? You don't have to respond. I just... What was exciting was the guys that got together and got him a ticket to go home. Because they talked to him. I think most importantly is that you follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. What does God want you to do in this moment? God prompts you to give, go ahead and give. But listen to the urges of your heart. If your urge is to walk away quickly, you're not listening to the right person. Someone might say, but I'm only one person. I really can't make a difference. There's a story told about this guy who was walking down the beach. I guess they had one of these extreme high tides. And it washed up, I mean, just hundreds and hundreds of starfish. And he was walking across the ocean. He was picking up starfish and he was tossing them back into the water. And some guy says, there's just too many of them. You can't make any difference. He reaches down, picks one up, throws it out there. Yeah, but I just made a difference in that person's life. And that's what we do. One person at a time. If you want practice, if you want to find a healthy way to learn how to make a difference, go to Hope in the Park. They will take you. It's the second Saturday of every month. Am I correct, guys? No. You can go talk to the guys and say, hey, I may not be there physically, but what are some things that I could give, you know? They'll tell you. Guess what? You could get active in actually doing. There's our food distribution. Don't only just get... We need two things from you. We need your food, and you need to be giving. We were low in bags last week, 2 weeks ago. We were low. Why? Because none of people gave. Now, you don't pay me anymore, so I can say anything I want. And I love our staff. Okay, I just love our staff. But they'll say, come on, guys, we're having this. Let's go. And I'm going, no! Don't talk like that. Tell them, come. Do. Buy food. Don't have much? Buy a little bit of food. but be there. Walk around the cars. Pray for people. Touch people's lives. We can do this. We have a fantastic group of ministers in this church. People doing tremendous things. But I tell you what, there are times that we just get tired of doing it. And we got to hang in there. And we do it. And we do it. Why? Because God has blessed you and me so much. And we need to be blessing other people. It's never whether or not someone is taking advantage of me by me giving to them. You ever that ever bother you? I was at a AMPM in Victorville off of D Street and 7th Street, the AMPM there. And so this one week, this guy asked for some money, and so I gave him a dollar. And they, I was back the next week. Same guy was, he told me he needed a bus ticket. That's what it was. He needed a bus ticket. And so the next week, he was trying it again. I said, didn't you go on the bus yet? I mean, there are people who, you know, we know they're going to take advantage of us. Listen to me very carefully. So what? And not whether or not how they're acting. They got to deal with that with God. How I act, I got to deal with God. It's always about whether I'm living an alive faith walk in Christ. That's really what it's about. John Piper again says this: I think Jesus' radical commands are intended especially to sever the nerve of our deep selfishness. So let me ask you, do you love? Or do you only love those close to you? Is your heart open to other people? By the way, the more it's open to other people, the more you're going to get hurt. Just to let you know, not that part's not going to stop. But it doesn't take away the command either. But when your heart's open, you get to see a lot more in people than you ever thought you would. And it's there that God can truly bless your life. Love one another as I have loved you. But that you also love one another. By this will all persons know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Father, take this day. Help us to begin to see people around us, those who would hurt us, those who would take from us. I mean, to see them as belonging to you. And Father, that we are there to minister as you give us ability. Always in grace, always founded in your love. Help us be that kind of people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
To the water, you who thirst, and you'll thirst no more. Come to the Father, you who work, and you'll work no more. And all you who labor, the broken and shamed. Love is here. Love is now. Love is pouring from his hands, from his brow. Love is near. It satisfies. Streams of mercy flowing from no more.
Recovery, or all of the weekly lessons and events. We'll see you around here somewhere. Take care.